welcome to the Yoga Focus podcast. I'm Laura Gellner, a yoga therapist, occupational therapist, and the owner of Focused Wellness Therapeutics. I provide one-on-one yoga therapy sessions, small group therapeutic yoga, and online education for yoga teachers that is rooted in science. For more information, check out my website, lauragyoga.com. Hi everyone, I'm Laura. Welcome back to our video series about deep dive into yoga. This is our PDF guide that we are working on to learn how to expand our practice, how to expand our knowledge and understanding of yoga. If you want to follow along with the PDF guide, go over to my website, lauragyoga.com. When you sign up for my newsletter, you're going to get an email right away that will have the PDF in it, so you can follow along. You will also get a series of emails with other downloads and other resources to support your practice. So, very helpful place to start. Today we're talking about expanding your yoga knowledge. And as a lifelong nerd and lover of information and learning, this is one of my favorite topics to talk about. But maybe you are in that situation where you've started to go to yoga practice at your gym, at a yoga studio, at a community center. Somehow you were exposed to yoga. Maybe you have a friend or a family member who's practicing it and you're like, I like yoga. I want to know more about it. How can I gain more information? And I think one of the best things to do is to start reading a book, or if you're not into sitting down and reading, maybe get an audiobook that will help to give you more information, because so many people are exposed to yoga in a yoga studio or kind of a class format where you're there for an hour, you're doing poses, you're doing maybe some breath work and relaxation, but the teacher can only give you little bits of information during that time. You're getting these little tiny snippets, these little insights into what is an incredibly vast and complex topic. So it can be really confusing in the beginning to put the pieces together. And I feel like if you get a good book, it gives you so much information in a couple of hours that then you just expand your knowledge of yoga so much more quickly. So I will give you a list of a couple books that I recommend on the next slide, but reading a good book or asking your yoga teacher if they have a book that they recommend you get or listen to if you like audiobooks. Okay, the next one is attending workshops, webinars, or retreats, but in particular workshops. I see workshops as a vehicle for more information than you get in a traditional class setting. The teacher has more space to talk and convey knowledge during a workshop than they do in a traditional class. So when I'm teaching a yoga class, I focus on giving a little bit of information, but I'm actually more focused on creating an experience for my students, creating a sensory experience, creating a sequence of poses that's going to help them to feel a certain way or help them to become aware of a certain thing. Within a workshop, that kind of shifts, depending on what sort of workshop it is, to more teaching based, or at least when I teach a workshop, I think of workshops as a context where I can share more knowledge, more information. And webinars are very similar. When I teach online courses or if I offer a webinar, that is about sharing information, and creating the experience becomes kind of a secondary part of that. Of course, we want to practice what we learn, because if you just hoard the information and don't actually apply it, the information is really not good for you. You could read a stack of self-help books, but if you don't pick just one thing and apply it to your life, then it's never going to have any impact at all. So gaining knowledge is wonderful, just make sure you apply your new knowledge. When I go to continuing education classes as a therapist, almost every course that I've gone to, and there's a lot of them, at the end of the day, they say, okay, leave here with a plan to take what you learned today and apply it tomorrow. wake up in the morning and know how you're going to test this out, how you're going to integrate it into your skills. Because if you leave too much space, it's going to fall to the back of your brain and you're not going to actually put it into practice. So walk away from that book, that workshop, that webinar with a plan in your head of, this is the knowledge that I got, even if it's just one little thing, and this is how I'm going to apply it in my day, on my yoga mat, or whatever it might be. Okay, the next one is listening to podcasts. There are just so many sources of information. Now, it can actually get a little bit overwhelming. Sometimes if I'm looking for a podcast to listen to when I'm cleaning or when I'm at the gym, I'll be scrolling through and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many choices. It can get a little bit overwhelming. So on the next slide, I'm going to have a list of a few podcasts that I really enjoy that you might want to listen to. But that's a great way to find new teachers, listen to interviews with teachers. You can learn about different elements of yoga practice, philosophy, business. I listen to a lot of podcasts where they help yoga teachers to understand business, because that is something that I am not well versed in at all whatsoever. So any knowledge or information that I can gain in that respect is great. Okay, the next one is use social media to get inspired. And I feel like social media can kind of be this double-edged sword. You have to be really selective with who you allow into your space. And I like to think about doing like a regular clean out with your social media. So if I'm on Instagram and I'm looking for things, and sometimes I love going on Instagram, I'll see a sequence, a transition, somebody using a prop in a different way that I never thought of. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a wonderful idea. I'm going to try that. But then you can also have other things that come into your social media that can bring up unnecessary amounts of self-judgment or feelings of imposter syndrome. Sometimes if I look at other people within their yoga businesses, I'll be like, oh, they're so much farther ahead than me. They understand business so much more than I do. I feel like I'm just kind of floundering over here. So we want to make sure that we are following things that help to create that feeling of uplifting and giving you fuel to move in the direction that you are trying to move. In a positive way, right? So not feeding those self-deprecating thoughts, feeding inspiration. And I heard somebody on social media say that you have to edit your social media regularly. So following people and unfollowing people so that you keep that feed in the energy vibration that you are trying to create. But also, your thoughts and your interests are going to shift slightly, so keeping that in mind. And she was saying that you want to be willing to unfollow anybody if it is not supporting you within that moment. And she was like, myself included, she's like, if there's something that I post on social media that you're like, I just don't need that in my life right now, she was like, feel free to unfollow me as well. And I was like, oh wow, that's a really wonderful thought that, you know, she's willing to apply that to herself. But it's very true, because if you are taking that media and bringing it into your life, you have to be very selective in what you are pulling in. Sometimes I talk about this thing called a sensory diet. And especially when you are in periods of your life where you are healing or you are trying to foster healthier habits, you have to be extremely selective in the type of media and the type of energy that you are exposing yourself to. So if I was fighting something like depression, I would not want to sit on the couch for 3 hours and watch the news, because that would be very negative, heavy, downward energy fed right into my brain for a long period of time every day. On the opposite end of that, if I chose to go to the gym and listen to something uplifting, one of my go-to people is Mel Robbins. She's a female motivational speaker, very inspirational, and very real. She talks about her own struggles and how she is definitely not perfect and like on the ball all the time, which I love. So she shares her own struggles and how she overcomes these things. So
when I listen to her, I feel like it just lifts me up and gives me this incredible feeling of power of like, oh my gosh, she went through all of these struggles. I can do that too. So that's the type of thing that I'm trying to put into my sensory diet. That's what I want to feed my nervous system so it keeps me in that space of creating healthier habits, creating healthier self-talk, or if you want to think of it in yoga terms, having that more positive vibration within your life, that more positive energy. So the next one is consider taking yoga teacher training, even if you don't feel pulled to be a teacher. This is honestly the place in my yoga journey where I started to understand what yoga was in a bigger context. I started teaching yoga, or I started practicing in 2003, and I took my first teacher training in 2005. And that gave me a little bit of information. It was not a 200-hour training. It was kind of an abbreviated training. And that's when I figured out that I didn't really know enough about yoga. So then in 2007, I took my 200-hour training, and that actually started to pull the pieces together for me. I still had a ton of learning to do, still do. But when I took the 200-hour training, it started to pull together a lot of the components that were not talked about in group practice in class. So I started to learn more about the philosophy, some of the more intricate breath work. We started to break down poses in a way that you just don't get exposed to in group class. So a lot of people end up taking yoga teacher training to expand their knowledge, but it's also an incredible personal journey. I think attending yoga teacher training is worth it just for the self-development and the amount of knowledge that you gain about yourself through that process. And I actually wish that more educational institutions would absorb that pattern, because I kind of contrast my experience in graduate school, where it was some of the unhealthiest time of my life. I was not sleeping. I was eating not nutritious food on a very irregular pattern, heavily loaded with carbs and processed food, anything that I could eat while I was writing papers and studying, and super stressed out. It was the low point in my health journey, unfortunately, because it was so, so very demanding. And I feel like I developed a lot of bad coping strategies because of that. Contrast that with my yoga teacher training. And I feel like yoga teacher training, I've done two different 200-hour trainings. Both of those had such a strong focus on getting to know yourself and actually practicing what you were learning, learning that pose, bringing it into your practice, fostering healthier habits, really living these things, not just learning the information, that you step away from yoga teacher training with a new body of knowledge, but with a new relationship with yourself and this new way to relate to yourself. So that is so incredibly helpful in itself. So that's an investment in your relationship with yourself when you do yoga teacher training. But I really do wish, like, school and especially medical schooling, we should be learning how to actually use these things ourselves and not just tell people what they're supposed to be doing without modeling those. There's such an emphasis in yoga teacher training about living what you were teaching, and I find that to be so helpful. So genuine. So here's a list of resources. If you're not sure where to start, these are some of my personal favorite books. You have a couple on here from, actually, I restrained myself with the Donna Fari books because I could have put all her books on here, but I put one of my favorite ones is Bringing Yoga to Life. Embracing Yoga's Roots by Susanna Barkataki. I always have to concentrate to try to say her name correctly. The Yamas and the Niyamas by Deborah Adele. Pretty much any book by Pema Chodron. I have read her book, When Things Fall Apart. incredibly helpful book. She's more meditation oriented. She's a Buddhist style meditation teacher, but her books are amazingly helpful, give you so many tools to navigate through your life. And the Stop Missing Your Life by Cory Muscara. That's a book I've been talking about a lot lately because I love the fact that he is a meditation teacher who actually talks about how trauma and pain and not processing through emotions will create a block in your personal development and in your spiritual development. If we are spending 6 hours a day on your meditation cushion and you are just trying so hard to meditate, but you are not addressing pain, trauma, unprocessed emotions from prior life experiences, you are not going to be able to move through those blocks. So you have to kind of turn and start to say, okay, I recognize the pain and some of the walls that I have built within myself, and I'm going to go through the process of working through that in a way that feels safe. And he talks about how to do that in his book. I feel like that's something that is so ignored in yoga, meditation, so many different things. It's getting a little bit more attention now, thank goodness, but in the past it was always just sit on your yoga mat and you will become enlightened. But so many people were finding failure in that because they weren't addressing the underlying issues. So now we are shining light on that finally. Okay, podcasts. The first one is Let's Talk About Yoga. And I would love to say her name, but I know I'm not going to say it correctly. But she is a lovely teacher. She is from India. She moved to the U.S. and started her yoga business here. And the guests that she has on and interviews are so insightful. It is just, I have learned so much from that podcast. It's incredible. The next one is my podcast, Yoga Focus. If you didn't know, I have a podcast. All of these recordings will be on there. Maybe you're listening to it right now. The next one is from Yoga Farm Ithaca, which is called Just What I Needed to Hear. When we're talking about the self-awareness and the self-development aspect of yoga, I did my Kundalini yoga teacher training with Yoga Farm Ithaca, and they very heavily emphasized the personal work that you do during yoga teacher training. Bless you, Redford. And it was such a healing process, and I learned tremendous amounts about myself that have helped me to live with a greater sense of ease because of what I learned from them. All of the teachers are wonderful, but Daniela is the one who teaches, she doesn't teach posture, she teaches a lot of self-awareness and self-inquiry, and it's amazing. The last one is Cory Muscara's podcast called Practicing Human. If you need something really short, like sometimes podcasts just get too long, or maybe these videos get too long, but Cory's podcast is usually like a 5 or 10 minute little discussion of a meditation technique, an idea, a way of thinking. His wisdom just astounds me. When he gives you that little nugget of wisdom, it just hits me in that way that I'm like, I think he's talking right to me. Like, that is what I needed to hear in my life right now. So those little short podcasts are so helpful to just kind of throw in, like a little coffee break meditation. And then at the bottom here is my list of recommended social media. I couldn't fit all of them on here, but these are kind of some of my favorites. And actually, I'll say Cory Muscara has a Instagram that he posts on very regularly with his wonderful nuggets of wisdom and information. But my favorite person to follow on Instagram right now is the Yoga Prasad Institute. He is just amazing in the way that he discusses things, the way that he discusses topics that need to be talked about, topics that are a little bit controversial, but he does it in the most graceful way that helps you to gain insight into that topic and helps you to gain more understanding of that topic without feeling like it's turning into this argument or this, like, this really contentious thing where sometimes we all know social media can devolve into an argument and just hecticness. With the way that he discusses things, it is done in the most incredibly graceful and insightful way. So if you're going to follow one person on Instagram to gain more information about yoga, I would say the Yoga Prasad Institute. He's somebody that I truly hope I get to study with in person one day. That would be amazing. The last part of this section, I have a list of recommendations in terms of expanding your experience within yoga from a knowledge perspective, knowing that there are so many other components that you can go to study. And this is definitely not meant to be a checklist. I don't want you to sit there and kind of go through and say, okay, did that one, did that one, did that one. It's more to just open your eyes and say, oh, okay, all of these different components exist. And at some point, maybe they'll get pulled into my practice or I will read or investigate them more. But things like kirtan, listening to music, I have a bunch of playlists on Spotify that I'm eventually going to put on my website that you can use if you want to investigate kirtan. Mantra and chanting, the sister science to yoga, which is Ayurveda, that has been such a wonderful process of learning about myself and learning how to work with my students and my patients and understanding my family members better, understanding my husband better, and our relationship really comes down to knowing about the elements in Ayurveda and what causes these energetic shifts or what our constitution is. So wonderful. The chakra system is a great crossover with psychology if you're going through that process of trying to learn about yourself and go through self-development. I see the chakra system as a key piece in that process. The Vayus, if you're looking to go more in depth into the movement of energy within your body, the Vayus are strongly related to Ayurveda. The Kosha system is something that I use every day to learn more about myself and my yoga therapy clients. It's a process of checking in with yourself, but also a lens through which we understand the person as a whole. The kleshas are a series of challenges, a series of, I'll say problems, but they're like issues that come up with being human. They're places where we get misguided. So learning about the kleshas can be so helpful because you'll see them unfolding in your life once you have that awareness of, oh, that veil of illusion was pulled over me and I forgot my wholeness and I thought that I needed to buy that thing to feel whole. So the kleshas can be super important to uncovering some of the underlying causes of challenges within our life. Studying yoga nidra as a deep relaxation technique. I also love yoga nidra because there's a lot of research about using yoga nidra with people who have anxiety and specifically post-traumatic stress disorder. There's a lot of research and application that has been done with people coming back from war, using that as a component in their therapy and their rehabilitation. The next topic is yoga anatomy, which I had to put in there because it's one of my favorite subsets within yoga, is understanding the way that yoga and the human body interacts, that incredibly dynamic back and forth of how your body influences the way that you practice poses, how the poses influence the way that your body feels, how the nervous system is shifted by the things that we feed it, and all of the other body systems. So amazingly complex, such an incredible relationship with the practice of yoga. So anatomy, just endlessly fascinating to me. And then the subtle body. So there's a lot of components of the subtle body that you can go and look into. We've talked about the Vayus. We've talked about the chakra system. We also have the Sushumna, the nadis, all of the other ways that energy moves throughout the body. So that's a great thing to look farther into. And then we have the bandhas. So when we're talking about energy, the bandhas are these specific types of locks that we will apply. There's the chin lock, Jalandhara bandha, there's Uddiyana bandha, Mula bandha, the root lock. And these are all different ways that we contain or direct our energy, and you can apply them during breath work, during meditation, or during yoga poses. So bandhas are an interesting thing to explore. Mudras, the hand positions, maybe you have practiced these at some point during your yoga practice or meditation practice, but there are so many different mudras. They are also a way to cultivate focus and a way to shift or direct our energy. Drishti is your eye gaze. So using your eye gaze, looking up, looking toward the tip of your nose, looking down, looking toward your finger. We do that one a lot in Kundalini. Using your eye gaze as a way to direct your mental attention, but also to direct your energy toward a specific point. And then the shut kriyas, or the cleansing techniques. These are things like the neti pot and some other a little bit more interesting things like swallowing gauze and things that you can kind of be like, oh, okay, that exists. I don't necessarily want to practice that myself. I've never swallowed gauze and then pulled it back out. But I do use the neti pot fairly regularly to keep my sinuses clean. I love that as a cleansing practice. So that's just an overview. It's not a comprehensive list, but these are some interesting subtopics under the umbrella of yoga that you can look more deeply into. And I always like to say that I love knowledge and I love information. And one of the things that really draws me to yoga is that there's so much information within the landscape of yoga that I could literally spend every day, the rest of my life, studying, learning, reading, and I still feel like it would just be the tip of the iceberg. So you will never run out of things to learn about and kind of pique your fascination when you are studying yoga. So those are some recommendations on how to expand your knowledge, and I hope that this text, Deep Dive into Yoga, is really supporting your knowledge and your investigation of yoga as a whole. And I will see you in the next one to talk about the different forms of yoga. This can be really eye-opening for people that yoga is not just about poses and being on your mat. So I will see you in the next one for that.
Thank you for being here on the Yoga Focus podcast. I'm Laura Gellner. If you would like to stay connected to more yoga resources, you can follow me on Instagram at LauraGYoga. I have many YouTube videos at Laura Gellner, The Yoga Focus Method, and you can find links to my book, Yoga Therapy at the Wall, and all of my online courses at my website, lauragyoga.com. Thanks so much for being here.